Thanks for listening to CNET Radio. This is Tracy Romine, the 25th of September, 2001. Let's talk now to Dr. Steve Mann, professor of electrical engineering at the University of Toronto, and somebody who's getting a little bit of press today. As a matter of fact, we caught a write-up in the New York Times about an odd little chair that's now found at the Austin Museum of Art in Texas. Thanks for coming on today, Dr. Mann.
Hello.
I understand that you've got a chair there at the Austin Museum of Art that is peculiar in that the seat itself has dozens of sharp metal spikes on it, and that in order to sit down on this chair, you have to turn over your government-issued photo ID card, and you have to use a credit card. What's the message here? Obviously, this is art, and I'm guessing not a real chair. What are you saying here?
Well, it is actually a real chair that actually exists there, and it's a social commentary on software licensing. I guess it really anybody who is versed in GNU Linux or that movement seems to understand and appreciate the meaning of the chair, which is really this idea that as society's evolving now, we're getting more and more into a world where you have to give up some of your privacy in order to get something. For example, you want to read the article in the New York Times today that describes the chair. You've got to log in and register and give up some personal information. So it's really kind of looking, probing into and asking questions about a society in which information is, which wants to be free in the Linux movement, at the same time is being held down with things like licensing and having to agree to all these terms in order to use something.
So I take it you're not a real big fan of Microsoft's latest licensing plans for their next operating system and software.
It doesn't really affect us because we've deleted all the Microsoft programs from all the computers in our labs and we're using GNU Linux. But I think that what it's really saying is when you agree to something, you have to agree to certain terms which often run against science. For example, you often agree not to reverse engineer a program. That is to say, you agree not to understand how it works. If we translated that into the real world, if you bought a clock or a wristwatch and you had to sign some agreement that would say you won't try to understand how this thing works, or in a sense agree that you won't try to practice the scientific method, that's the kind of thing that I'm calling into question with the chair, that you get a chance to sit down, but in order to do so, you have to agree not to try to understand how chairs work, and you have to agree not to try to practice the scientific method, and you have to agree not to describe your seating experience to anybody else.
There's a scrolling electronic sign that apparently gives you the information and warns you that, you know, should you not fall under certain criteria, the spikes will come up quick, huh?
Well, there's five loud fire alarm buzzers throughout the facility that sound prior to the expiration of the seating license, and there's a warning that pops up and some flashing lights that indicate that your license is about to expire in 5 seconds.
I'm taking it, I mean, for the artistic purity of it all, did you have to use real pointy steel rods, or are these something that would bend if they hit my derriere?
Well, the actual implementation of the seat is just one of many devices, and this is a series of products that come out of Existential Technologies Corporation. So if you look at the existech.com website, existech.com, mm-hmm. That's where you'll find all these kinds of products which attempt to question or call into question some of these values of society.
Wow, that's interesting stuff there. Let me play a little devil's advocate here. Anytime we get these discussions about open source software going, there's always two sides, and oftentimes we might be guilty here on this station of maybe occasionally pandering to the side that argues information wants to be free. But let me just for fun, let's play the other side of this. Information might want to be free, but that doesn't mean I can go out and take Kurt Vonnegut's book and just suddenly grab it and maybe tweak it here and there and then call it my own, does it?
Well, there's certain mechanisms in place to create a balance, and I think in society we've had a balance for a while, but I think we're entering a world that's out of balance with things like the Digital Millennium Copyright Act that basically, in a sense, try to prevent fair use. Fair use means quoting a portion of some piece of work for scholarly discourse. And when the copy protection kicks in on these devices, what they're really trying to do is prevent even the fair use of quoting pieces of the material.
What should happen to people who are found using tools that may have been created by otherwise right-thinking academics that just wanted to reverse engineer something to understand how it worked? And then what should be done about people that use the resulting tools that might be created, like Dmitry Sklyarov's Elcomsoft Adobe eBook Encryption Breaker, to steal things from Adobe, or to download otherwise encrypted music files, that kind of stuff? Do you think we should throw all those kinds of laws out the window?
I think what we're going to need to do is to move to something different. I think that in the digital age, concepts like copyright are not going to work, and we're going to have to come up with a new concept. And one new concept that we came up with is something called subject right. Copyright attempts to protect the interests of the author or creator, the person transmitting the work. And I think what we've ignored is something to protect the rights of the recipient, the person receiving the work. So in a sense, right now we have agreements where by receiving the work you agree to the following terms. What we need under subject rights is something where as a recipient you say that by exposing me to content you agree to the following terms. So what happens if I or anybody else as an individual says to content providers that by exposing me to content you agree to the following terms? If you do not agree to these terms, do not expose me to information content.
That's interesting stuff. Dr. Stephen Mann, Steve, is there a place online where we can go and see a webcast image or a picture of this chair anywhere?
Yeah, if you go to wearcam.org, wearcam.org, there is the seat sale page. So wearcam.org/seat sale/ will take you to the page that describes seat sale, and also you'll find there the subject rights, this notion of instead of copyright, you know, this other framework that we could put forth.
All right, Dr. Stephen Mann, and again, if you're in the Austin area, you might want to go and see the chair yourself with your real eyes, with your own two eyes. Austin Museum of Art in Texas is where the seat sale display is, a plain wooden chair with a scrolling electronic sign, a credit card reader, and yes, spikes coming out of the seat unless you fit into certain criteria. It's politics screaming off this chair.